What's up, Food Podcast? With Felipe Esparza.
And Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening last week at our sixth episode of Just the Two of Us.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, everybody, who listened, man. And I don't know, man. I don't think we can get a hold of Prieto Javier. He's probably like 40-something years old or 30-something, late 30s. He knows where to find us. And maybe I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe one day Rodrigo and I and the manager, we might take a trip to Tijuana, Mexico, right?
That'll be fucking cool. I'm
It'll
down.
Be the search for Angel Esparza.
We don't even have to search. We'll be right there.
I know, man. We'll just take our podcast gear and meet him at the border, bro, and have some tacos and have a podcast. Maybe it'll be like a three-hour podcast. This fool want to get paid, though. It'll be the first time we pay someone a podcast.
This fool breaking them off.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody who listens to our podcast. Hold on. What's this podcast? Give
him a shout out. Bobby Lopez, listening from Brooklyn. He has listened to every episode and finally gave us a review on iTunes last week. So shout out to Bobby Lopez.
It's about time, bro. Also, man, shout out to this guy who made the Keef box. We got all his info now.
Raymond.
Get a hold of him, man.
That's right. The South Dakotian Native American, Raymond Fiddler. Mato Numpa Cedar Designs. I guess that's some old Indian words for craftsmanship.
Yeah.
Native owned and operated. Hit him up on Facebook or hit him up through a cellular phone at 408-840-6216 and ask for Raymond Fiddler.
Raymond Fiddler, man. Thank you, man, for making that badass Keef box. Also, that Keef box works amazing, man. It's a big one, though. I don't think I'm ever going to have that much weed to put in there.
I'm selling Keef now.
I know, man. That thing is huge. You have to put, like, you would have to put a whole ounce in there to get a Keef box going there.
It's a big-ass box.
So he makes them pretty cheap, man. Like, he'll make you whatever Keef box you want, and you decide on the price. You know, he's one of those guys that doesn't want to rob nobody, you know, but depending on what kind of Keef box you want, you want to give him $20, you're going to have a Keef box that's going to give everybody splinters, man.
So I just send it to me for free, dog.
But they're all handcrafted by a certified 100% Native American.
Certified, dog.
Hell yeah, man. This guy, man, has a good story, man, and he'll make any Keef box.
Out of feathers.
Man, this Keef box, you know, like where the Keef is supposed to fall out of my Keef box?
That little mirror?
It's huge, bro. It looks like a fucking it looks like one of those cookie sheets to make cookies.
Another way to make fucking wax, huh?
Also, man, don't forget, next week is the call-in show. Next week, Tuesday, June 7th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be live on YouTube /ATC. Live on YouTube. And you can call us for about an hour and a half on our Skype line. Excuse me. Skype line at 323-282-7424. If it's busy, just keep trying to get in, man. We're going to accept all calls. You never know, man. We might have Prieto Javier call in.
Don't be trying to call in. Collect, eh?
He probably wants to come over here and hang out and do the podcast with us with Speedos on it.
I was just thinking about his Speedos, dog.
Probably has a Milan Lucha Libre party right now, huh?
Looking like a little mono, dog.
Also, man, upcoming shows will be in Birmingham, Alabama. Actually, Hoover, Alabama. This week, June 3rd through the 5th at Stardome. Also, next week, I'll be in Orlando Improv with Marcela Arguello and Adam Murray.
What's up, bro?
Give us some Adam Murray, bro.
Man, I don't know. It's like a weird voice with those little locks and curls on his forehead, man. Is that he's a cab driver too, huh, fool?
Yeah, man. And he's been bummed. He's been robbed too.
We got robbed nasty.
He got beat up by a single mom.
He's one of those fools that'll let it happen, dog.
Also, Orlando, I'll be there June 9th through the 12th. June 11th is my birthday, if anybody's thinking about bringing me anything. At the Orlando Improv. San Diego, July 15th. This is going to be a big show. It's at Humphreys by the Bay.
By the Bay.
This is one of those places where you can rent a hotel room and watch the show from your hotel room. So that means your kids can watch the show. If you get a hotel room at Home Free by the Bay, your whole family can watch the show from the room.
Or a sailboat, dog.
Or a sailboat. Hell yeah, man. You know, forget, you know, trying to get a baseball in your boat, paddle ball your. Imagine somebody shows up, G. Riley style.
Yo, what's going on, y'all?
I'm just anchor right here. Fools will be up there fucking paddle boating, laughing.
Fucking drowning, huh, dog? Bloop, bloop,
bloop, bloop. So that's where we'll be, man. San Diego, July 15. Arlington, Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. Arlington, Virginia, July 29 and 30 at Arlington Draft House. Everybody from D.C. area, please show up, everybody. Also, tickets are now on sale for my August show in Chicago and Boston. Get those while they last at FelipeWorld.com-tour. Don't forget.
If you're going to buy something on Amazon, use our Amazon search window on FelipeWorld.com. Because every time you buy something on Amazon from our site, we get a little kickback that helps keep the podcast running. So do God's work and go through the Amazon search window on FelipeWorld.com.
Hell yeah.
Whatever you're going to buy.
Whatever you're going to
buy. Flip-flops.
Flip-flop, a gun.
A fucking gun. Can NRA over here, dog.
Hey, man, we're so as dumbass people, man, getting caught on Craigslist back in the day.
Doing what, fool?
Trying to sell. This is how they always get you on Craigslist, man, when you try to buy, like, marijuana material, affiliates.
Oh, how homeboy got stung that one time?
How'd he get busted, dog?
Dude, supposedly this fool went on fucking Craigslist. Looking for hydroponic gear, right? And the guy's all, yeah, I got some hydroponic gear. I'll meet you fucking so-and-so location in the parking lot. Sounds sketchy. But anyways, he went, goes and meets him in the parking lot. And then the guy's all, hey, man, you know where I can get some smoke?
Yeah, man. Why don't you just give me an ounce? I'm going to call it even. Yeah, so that fucking simple hydroponic deal. That was supposed to be a simple deal, became a fucking serious drug deal in the end.
Hell yeah. Well, as soon as he gave him the fucking weed, he said he handcuffed his ass.
Yeah, we just convenient coming from the road.
Flew out and fucking yanked that handcuff and fucking kept driving, dog.
I got one punch in.
Came back to the town with a black eye, huh, fool?
That's how they get you, huh?
That motherfucker got nabbed. You could have fought that with entrapment. That's what that shit is.
Entrapment.
But hey, I guess he didn't get entrapped. He got convicted, you know?
Is that really entrapment, though?
If you can prove it otherwise. But if you ain't got a good-ass lawyer, motherfucker's a public defender and shit with a fucking suit that's all tight, that fool can't even think in front of the judge.
Second strike?
You're going to be here for about 90 days, eh?
How about entrapment when you pick up a prostitute? Not a, you know it's a prostitute already, right? Pick her up because nobody goes into car with fat motherfuckers. Right? Unless you're picking up your mom. So she goes in the car. And then, hey, man, you looking for a date?
A date?
I don't know how they start. You know, I don't know the lingo. I never picked up a prostitute with a car. So she goes in the car and she goes, yeah, man, so what kind of party are you looking for? And I say, wow, what kind of party do you have? What do you want to do? Put it in your ass? You know, or something. You got to say something freaky, bro, rather than run another car. They might think you're a cop. Whatever you say, whatever. What is this? When is it entrapment? Not because I want to pick up a prostitute or anything, but I want to know for our listeners who are idiots, people who travel idiots. Abroad.
Abroad, international law.
Maybe it's a question for a guest. I don't know.
No, well, it becomes entrapment when they roll up to you and they psych your ass out, fool.
How?
They'll beat around the bush, and as soon as you mention, oh, are you a prostitute? Would you like to fucking have sex with me? Yes. They got your ass, dog. And see, but that's sneaky. So you get a lawyer to help you fight, go, hey, man, I was minding my own business. I was fucking eating this fucking donut over here. And this bitch comes over here flapping her jaws about this and that. That ain't right.
Well, let's look at the fucking side law. Well, did you go over there and not talk about prostitution in the beginning?
And they'll be like, nah, motherfucker, we were talking about prostitution. Well, it is entrapment and fucking you can get the fuck out of here, dog. That fucking case ain't going to hold.
Yeah, man.
But see, that's going to cost like $1,000 in legal work, bro.
Because I was watching American Greed.
This weekend.
And I know now, man, if two hot Russian chicks like me in a bar, it's all fake.
I thought you were fucking a stockbroker, dog.
Shilenkova is not into me. It was crazy, man.
Ooh, like Felipe.
And now an American greed. He thought he was going to get laid by these two Russian women. But in the end, they whipped him out with 40 grand. So this guy was like a guy that was a sportscaster in some other city. And he went to Miami to have a good time. And while he was there at a bar, everybody recognizing him. Hey, you're that guy, the sportscaster from whatever. Yeah, I'm the guy, the sportscaster. No, I'm the weatherman from over there.
Fucking Anchorman.
I am the weatherman. Yeah, whatever. And then they go like this. Oh, you weatherman? you tell weatherman? Whatever, right?
He's getting
stupid. And then another one comes out, her friend, right? She's more stupid. Pretends to be more stupid, right? Oh, he's weatherman. Happy. Then they get him with, you're the nicest American we've met all week. They're all assholes.
They yeah, make right. a sucker their dicks.
Whatever, right man. They're hot. Super hot, dog. Mm. They were born in 1986, okay?
Expensive hot.
Yeah, they were born in 1986, according to the story. So this happened in the late 90s. But this fool, like, they're like 23, 24 years old. They tell him, man, let's go to this other party we know, this other party, right? So they spice this when that fool goes, whatever. Let's take shots at the first place they met. Let's take shots. So you know they're rubbing his leg, you know.
Hell yeah,
somebody dog. Rubs your inner thigh is on.
You know? Oh, dude,
they so get hard them all hot, whatever, right?
Makes you want to buy shots.
Yeah, man. So that fool exactly. He didn't want to buy shots. He goes, I don't, you know. He was trying to be up in the story, you know. You know, he took that shot willingly, you know.
But he said, "No,
yeah." He goes, "Nah, man, I don't do shots. You know, it's impossible. You know, I don't do shots. So I just, all right, I do another shot, whatever." So I do the shot. So I should have known something. Right? So that fool felt dizzy, bro. So he was crawling to the next place, and at the next place, every time they ordered, they were buying drinks at that bar. He was already like fainting, right? But he was drinking with them. Ooh, champagne bottle, 5 grand.
Fuck, they got that Cristal.
Yeah, fuck it, 2 more shots, 7 grand. So the first night, they fucking took this fool for 15 grand, right? So then he goes back to his room, and he's there with no t-shirt, right? He was there with no t-shirt, woke up with no t-shirt, fucking massive headaches. He don't know where those fucking chicks took his sunglasses. And these were expensive sunglasses, right?
Fucking Wayfarers.
So this fool said, let's go. Where's my glasses? Oh, we took your glasses by accident. You know, they look the same, right? They look the same. So then a credit card company calls this fool, right? Oh, no, they don't call this fool. That's later. So then he goes, whatever, right? It's the weekend, right? So this fool had a mean-ass headache, right? So then these chicks tell him, man, we're all going to this art exhibit, right? You want to come? Yeah, let's have more drinks. So they give the fool more medicine, more poison, right, in his drink to be all fainty. So they go to the art exhibit. This fool pays for a painting, bro, almost $38,000.
Fuck, what they roofie this fool with, dog? WD-40, dog?
And, okay, keep in mind, this fool, they haven't held his penis once.
Oh, my God, fool.
This fool had got nothing, dog.
For $38,000, I'll be fucking both those bitches in the ass, dog.
Okay. Then after they dumped him over, bro, and he woke up, went back to wherever he's from, Orlando or Tampa, where he's from.
We'll see you at the show next week.
They fucking end up taking like $48,000 out of his credit card, right? And he was trying to fight it with American Express. You know, I don't even drink champagne. I don't even do this.
I don't pop bottles, dog. They do, motherfucker.
He was saying, but I didn't even get my dick sucked.
Shut the fuck up. Fool, they in a TV show called American Dumbass, fool? What the fuck
is I know. I'm thinking, I'm watching American Greed going, why am I watching this? This is not American Greed. He got what he paid for.
This is how we party but in then, Russia.
They said, they did an investigation, right? These are all big fucking Russian fools, right? These Russian dudes, right? They dupe everybody there every weekend, right?
It's a network. It's a syndicate.
And they had an undercover cop that was supposed to watch out, and he was investigating these fools. And he said that he was working there, knowing that he was a cop, but they didn't know that he was on the level looking at them. They thought he was like, oh, a dirty cop, whatever. So, fool, when somebody ran off, when he hit a tab of 12,000, he realized he saw the numbers. Because when they show you the receipt to sign it, because you're signing for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're like confirming blocking the money, right? A girl's giving you a kiss. You turn around.
You're doing a shot.
Then another guy grabs your balls, whatever. Another kiss. So then you're fucking signing. They're holding your hand and you're signing your life. You're signing the debt. 10,000. Yeah, so then one guy, the undercover cop that was working there, he said, well, oh, this guy ran off, and me being an undercover cop, you know, and I couldn't blow my cover, and I had to go get this guy. And I told him, you know, listen, man, I don't, the laws in our state in Florida that once you're in a bar or a restaurant and you try to walk out without paying, you broke the law. It don't matter where you stepped out of an establishment. You know, you made a purchase, you know. And you can fight it later on, but you're breaking the law. And he told him, you know, if you don't stop, I'm a police officer. I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to arrest you right now. You're breaking the law. I suggest you go back in there and pay your tab. That fool has to go back in there and pay his tab. So that's
so they're using that loophole to fuck you over. If you try to get out of it, you can't get out of it. Fucking Russians ain't stupid, dog.
So let me tell you, man. So this not only is this weatherman got duped, the chicks got duped.
How?
These young chicks got ads from when they were in Russia or Slovakia or whatever they're at, Slovakia.
The Ukraine,
right? They read an ad and go, come to America, work at a modeling, make lots of money. And when they get there, bro, ooh, there's no ticket back home, dog. They hold their passports. So you have to work this off.
The debt, right?
Yeah, so you got to work at this bar. And the way you make money is by them buying more drinks. And you get 20% of every sale.
Well, that's mob shit, huh, fool?
So they're fucking making money now, bro. So these chicks become professionals. It's fool. When they went to these fucking scandalous-ass chicks' rooms, like, they were like that guy was undercover, right? The police officer said that he was working undercover, and he would pick up these dumb chicks that were coming from Russia or whatever out of but they were paying for the flight. The Russians were paying for the flight. You know, the motherfucker wants their money back, dog.
Hell yeah, fool. $2,500?
So they're flying out to Florida to do these tricks, you know, and they're not prostituting. They're fucking a lot
scamming
of
scamming them.
Let them know no have sex, but if the guy kisses you, you gotta let them. But you're scamming them, bro. There's really no sex because those guys are so fucked up. They don't notice. They're the only ones in the bar, dog.
They're at the bottom bean.
There's a lot of music going down, bro. But it's an illusion. Es una ilusión.
The bosses are the only ones having sex.
Yeah, bro. They look like you, dog.
And, my little babushka,
bro. Okay, it gets crazier. The guy said that I would literally go pick up these girls, young women, from the airport, and then take them to Walgreens and buy them an air mattress.
That wouldn't get sex either, dog.
Buy them an air mattress for these chicks and take them to the room, bro. And then they realize reality. They come in all shy, bro. But then they become hustlers. But the main chick, bro, they were all labeled a captain, lieutenant, sergeant.
Damn.
These chicks.
Foot soldier.
The main chick, bro, or some hot little Russian chick, she said that they like collecting fool's shirts.
That's why that fool didn't have a shirt, fool. Victim number 578.
So they fucking had a shirt
hanging
stapled to the wall, dog.
Stapled, dog.
But now it gets better, dog.
This whole dog.
They said they had this whack-ass painting at the bar. They said, nah, man, we're going to get somebody to buy this shit.
What's like the painting from the mom from Goodfellas? You guys want to see my painting?
Exactly, dog.
I want to see my souvenir collection.
So that painting was some fucking painting they had as props.
Oh, the one he bought for $38,000?
Yeah.
What a fucking dipshit, fool.
Yeah, man. He got jacked, man.
With a page out of the coloring book.
And it wasn't even Dr. What's his name, man? Dr. Brainwash. So he got brainwashed.
God, I thought you were gonna tell me that the cop got duped too, dog.
So now the cop didn't get duped, bro. He arrested all the motherfuckers and all the chase did time. But all the Russian dudes did under 10 years, bro, because they know the law, bro.
Let me tell you, knowing the law, fool, once you know the fucking law, you can get out of a lot
and
of
then
shit.
Then the other Russian dude went back to Russia and he went to go hide somewhere, right? The main guy. And he said that somebody walked up to him and said, a lot of people in Miami, don't you want to talk? And they broke his arm, bro. So then he said he didn't want to hide his whole life. So I don't know if he made a plea deal or whatever, dude. But he testified against all those fools.
Damn.
Guess how much time this fool got? 3 years. And I bet you, man, everybody was forgiven, bro. I bet you the mob said, everybody's going to do the times, and he's the leader. He's going to do three. It's fucking, you know, we're going to move on. And this fool had, he had clubs like this in all over the country, in different countries, dog.
I bet, dude. Those motherfuckers got their arms and everything, dog. Crafty-ass motherfuckers, fool. It's cold out there, fool.
So, man.
Gotta think.
That stupid-ass weatherman, he said,
weatherman.
He said,
okay, Will Ferrell,
I told the cops, man, when they arrest these girls, tell them the weatherman says hello.
It took everything like a fucking blizzard, you know? It was Las Niñas.
Yeah, man, we have a partly cloudy and chances of getting laid of 100%. Chances of not getting laid are just 101%. Dude, bro.
Well, that wouldn't even come, fool.
Nah.
Fucking lame,
he
dog.
He didn't have moisture, bro.
Well, I'll be calling the station. You know what? I don't even want that fucking weatherman on the fucking station.
No, he got fired, dog.
Shut the fuck
he
up.
He got fired. Fool. This guy from Playboy magazine wrote a funny-ass article about that, fool.
What was the title, dog?
I don't know, man. Chances of sex? None. Whatever.
It's a limp story.
Oh, bro. A little chance of... what did he say? Not humidity. Humility. A little chance of humility. So he lost his job and he tried to appeal. It was the main president of the network. He said, listen, man. You chose to hang out with Russian prostitutes than hang out with your daughter that weekend.
Oh, they hit that fool like that?
Like that, dude. They threw personal shit.
Damn.
But then they show a lot of his 8x10s. He's still talking with his glasses, trying to be all cool, Abel style. He goes, you know, man, it's a classic, whatever. He had a nice man, but whatever. He said, yeah, man, it's like I've been scapegoated, whatever.
Fucking whipping boy over here, dog.
But come on, man. He got jacked.
Fool, that fool got jacked nasty.
They can't jack me like that, bro.
They'll get like fucking three drinks till you start figuring it out.
I know, man. I know, man. I'm... You know, two Russian hot chicks gonna want me, bro. Especially if they didn't see my comedy. For real, man. They would even if they
What's
saw my stand-up comedy.
Fool?
I think they've been plotting this shit for years.
What's up, fool?
You're so funny. You're married. That oh, too bad. In my country, you know, it's okay. Nah, man, I can't fall for that shit, though. I love my wife. But you gotta think about it, man. Would you fall for it?
Fool, I would probably.
You're a billionaire.
Fuck no. How the fuck you become a billionaire being that crafty and then you get duped by these two hoes?
I bet you he's the first person not to say nothing. No, the weatherman said something, bro. He wanted his money back from American Express. He got it back, dog.
Oh, are you serious? Because the fraud, huh?
Yeah, the fraud. But they're signing shit over.
Yeah, dude.
But think about it, man. Those chicks were fucking doing probably coke, counting their money, bro, on Instagram. If they had Instagram back in the day,
on
laying
MySpace,
on top
bro.
Of the money and goes, man, tomorrow we're going to get this fool to buy this shitty painting.
The world is not enough.
Damn, bro. Think about it. That was extra money, man. Because those chicks only get paid with alcohol, so they sold a painting.
God damn. They got commissioned, fool. I ain't hating on them, dog. Fucking respect, fool.
But the real winner here were the Russian dudes.
Dude, they broke his arm, dog.
They flew. That was a good investment. Flying those chicks, what, $2,000 flight? And then keeping them.
Hell yeah. How many fucking revenue they fucking bring in for those fools, dog? Wheelbarrows of cash.
They said it was like at least like $15.4 million.
That's what I'm talking about, dog. See, those are the decimal numbers I like, Mr. Sponsor.
And they didn't have to break nobody's arm.
Nothing, fool.
And if you ran out without pain, they had a real cop bringing your ass in.
That's what I call genius, fool.
That's a scam and a half.
Fuck yeah. The only thing that sucks is they got caught.
I got no scams. I'm not running Dangerfield, man. I'm not a good criminal, man.
One more Woody out of you and he gets it, you know?
I was caught person snatching on a fucking plane. What's up, fool? We have a guest today, man.
Hell yeah.
What's happening, man?
We have Jerry here. Introduce him, Rodrigo.
The Jerry O'Neill, also known as Jerry Voodoo, a drummer of Voodoo Glow Skulls for years, you know, great records you recorded on.
22 years. Thanks for taking me out of the 90s, guys.
Oh, sorry about that, man. You know what I'm saying? We got to tell the truth on this podcast. Very cool motherfucker. Awesome friend. Known him fucking since I was like 14 and a half years old. And yeah, man, fucking a... put your hands together for the one and only Mr. Jerry William O'Neill, everybody.
Talk to a drum beat, but I can't. What's up, fool? Jerry O'Neill, man, from Voodoo Glow Skulls. First time I met this fool in Oakland.
Oh, I remember meeting you that day. Yeah, that was quite an event.
I was fucking loaded, bro.
Oh, yeah, so was I. Man. After the show, we had to go home. We had to get on the road, and I wanted to go with you. I wanted to keep it going. But,
you know. Oh, yeah, man, I was on a mission, bro, that night, too, man. Trying to find coke in all the wrong places afterwards. We drank a lot of, man, you were drinking good beer that night, man. It was a lot of free beer, a lot of Heineken's. Yeah. Heineken's.
Heine, free beer.
Free backstage beer, man. Beer. Free backstage beer,
and
man.
And the venue was border regentrification, so that Oakland was just starting to
change,
you know, a little bit. And it was kind of on the cusp right there. We had a good time.
Yeah, because two blocks away from the venue, it was like crackheads.
So it's still nitty gritty, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah, we were looking for it. Yeah, it was cool.
So where are you from, man? Costa Rica or what?
I'm half Costa Rican, half Costa Rican, half Irish, but I don't know my Irish side. I don't know my Irish side. Well, my dad took off when I was a kid.
Echo Park, right?
Yeah, Echo Park.
This fool, dog.
Yeah, and MacArthur Park.
Oh, MacArthur, because that one time I had, we were at my house when I was living in Echo Park, and we were getting stoned.
Off of Montrose right there.
On Montrose.
The prisoner was there.
That's right, I grew up in both areas, MacArthur and Echo. Just all the poor areas, you know, and
way before hipsters and gentrification.
It was scary back then, but fun. That's LA was fun and scary at the same time. You know, when you're a kid, fun. You don't know where you're at. You're protected.
It was a good time those days. Before crack came around.
Yeah. The golden era.
The golden era, bro. When you had to make your own skateboard.
Yeah. You know, Alvarado had those hotels. Are they still there?
The one like 25 bucks a night?
Yeah, exactly. Hotels that Bukowski wrote about.
Bukowski! <what's up? laughs>
There's some, but not a lot. The only thing that's left is that the Dally's still there.
Hey.
Langer's. I don't know if you've seen a Dally in Alvarado.
Yeah, right there on the corner. Carter.
Yeah.
They make some good pastrami sandwiches.
What about the Penny Store? Penny Store is still around. And,
which one?
The one
El Piojito.
Yeah.
That's still there, man. I think it's still there.
Yeah,
El Piojito, that's a place where poor kids used to go get corduroys.
And shoes and all that shit, right?
Yeah, that was my stomping ground. My grandmother worked at a sweatshop, and I got to go visit her.
Back in the day, it was...
Really? Yeah. How'd your mom and grandma get to L.A.?
You get closer.
Yeah, I got you. Oh,
yeah,
got therapy.
How'd you guys land in L.A., fool?
I don't know. I was born there. Mm-hmm.
General Hospital kid?
Yeah, California Hospital. Yeah. Yeah, you know, my mom and dad met at a taco stand. And the rest is history.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm totally serious, yeah.
You have to be a punk rocker.
Yeah.
I always tell people, man, I have a bit where I say that Latino and white kids make the best skaters. Like you get a white kid and a Latino, and that baby is going to have silver teeth, but you can skate as a motherfucker.
A little hybrid.
Like Christian Hosoi, right?
Yeah, that's
right. Half Hawaiian, half white?
Well, I guess you were born around some good spots for skating, you know?
Not too.
Ditches. A lot of ditches, and especially out here in Southern California. A lot of drainage ditches to go skating.
So you were growing up in Echo Park in the Alvarado area during the Hillside Strangler.
Yeah, that's right. It's scary times.
Were you around? Did you hear about that?
Yeah, for sure.
Scary times, huh?
For sure. You know,
get in the clouds.
There was plenty of serial killers back then. Like, that's when they were. They don't make them anymore, right?
They don't make them no more, man. I feel like either they don't make serial killers.
Not like they used to.
Yes, or they don't get on. They're not on social media.
They switched them for mass murderers now.
Yeah, they did. It's weird, huh?
Yeah. It's because it's harder now, fool. Like you were saying earlier, you can't get away with shit. Me and this fool were talking about you can't even be a vampire now, huh, man? Can't even fucking hide from the cameras and shit, man.
No, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse for vampires.
But you can fly in Russian strippers, bro.
Under the radar.
Yeah, that guy should have brought his doppelganger to predict what was going to happen.
Yeah. Fucking weather, man, dog.
Yeah.
So you think it happens a lot, man, to celebrities? They get robbed like that?
Yeah, eventually. You know, I mean, I think you get smart. You know, it happens once or twice. You know, and then hopefully it doesn't happen in when people are you know, and you're famous.
Well, that's when you fucking get caught up and you get somebody on your team didn't have their eye open, dog.
Right, yeah, like exactly. that player from the Dodgers, Pedro Guerrero. They stole his World Series ring.
How that shit happen?
He was loaded, bro. And they put something in his drink. Then that girl started sucking his finger and took it out.
Shut the fuck up, yeah. Fool. Here in L.A., fool?
I don't know where, some party. Puerto Rico, probably.
You know that motherfucker was probably right. Mira, coño, mira, me.
I never been robbed by a chick, but a girl super nice me, and I loaned her $250, and I never seen that bitch again.
Shut up,
I'm embarrassed to say that, eh? I was working at Dodger Stadium.
Damn.
And there was this fucking chick that was working there, and she was super nice, bro. And maybe I liked her, you know, but she used to give me her, she used to have like a gold ring, and she used to always wear it, right? She used to always put it on my hand and go, want you to keep it till you come back. So she would give me a ring and whatever, you know. But I was already like messing up a lot. So I went to rehab. I never saw her again, right? I kept the ring. But then when I saw her, I said, here's your ring back. And I went back to working at Dodger Stadium after I came out of rehab, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And then like I guess somehow loaned her $250, never saw her again.
Ever.
And I tried to ask for it. She tried to ignore me, bro. I got duped.
Are you sure? You sure she wasn't Russian?
No, man. She was Stalin. But yeah, man. That's the only time I remember.
Yeah, I've never been taken by big loot. Just a couple jackets.
You know? A couple of jackets.
That's what you get for being a gentleman, right?
Who got your ass, dog?
A couple youngsters back in the day.
Youngster.
I was young. I was young myself.
With a Raider starter jacket.
But you learn quick. Hopefully not. Hopefully quick enough, and you live about your mistakes, right?
Yeah, man. $250.
That's a lot. What year is that?
Then shit, fool.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, what year is that?
Man, when I was like 20-something, man. Yeah. What happened again?
That's a lot now. It's like...
Fuck yeah. That's a mad chunk, fool.
That's more than the phone bill.
That's two phone bills. And Panda Express. What up, Jerry?
So you grew up in Echo Park, and then when did you get to Riverside?
Ooh. There was a demographic of people that moved from around the 81, right before the Van Halen 1984 record. So that's how I remember it. So there was a demographic of people that moved for cheaper housing back into Riverside. And
moved east.
Moved east, yeah. So, I hated it when I got there. Hated it. Cause I lived in Los Angeles, so I can walk a couple steps and to go play video games or pinball. I think back then at a neighborhood liquor store. But I'm like, you brought me where? I got to walk this far. Then I discovered BMX and I started to dig it. Yeah, it was okay out there. Became a dirt clod kid, you know, jumping over shit and throwing dirt clods. Yeah, it was good. It was fun growing up. Eventually, you know, you discover heavy metal. Backyard party, keg parties, and that's how I met Vito Gluskols. Yeah, for sure. That was good. It was a good time. Hey, that was a segue into rock and roll, I suppose. Yeah. And it's history ever since. So, yeah, it was good times. That's when we moved around. Yeah. Around in 1984. 1981, Mark, right before that record. Yeah.
You joined the band in the beginning?
Yeah.
Or
founding member, yeah.
Did you audition for a drummer or then you could drum?
No, I tried out for bass and
it's a long time ago. It's all. I'm gonna text Jerry right now so he can play a little bass.
Yeah, no.
Give me
no.
Some bass.
Yeah. You tried out as a bass player first, fool?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
we have no room for no cellos.
I took whatever slot I can get. You know, everybody. You know, nobody really knew what they wanted. I just whatever was available.
Just wanted to start a band,
and then you find, and then what happens is you find your niche, and you eventually, you know, I was stuck with that. Then I got stuck with drums, and then you know, continued and honed into my craft over the years of musicianhood. Self taught musicianhood.
What was your first show like when you said, "Man, this is fun"?
Oh, the first show when I was
with Voodoo.
Well, the first show that I thought was fun, the first time we went to Hawaii. Well, the first time you get to travel with your friends. The first time you get to go on a flight with your friends. It's like, that's when you think you've made it.
And all fuck around on the plane and shit?
Yeah. You know, we were already drinking on the plane, you know, all the way there and the whole time. It's a vacation, you know? At the same time, you're getting to go somewhere with your friends and really feel like you're accomplishing something, you know? You know, outside of traveling in a condo line.
Putting the name out, bro.
Yeah, right, right. Not just in your area, your sect, in your town, in your surroundings, and you know, you're familiar to your surroundings. Now at this point, you're unfamiliar surroundings, and that's fun. Because you know, nobody's heard of you. It's time to prove it. And I think the first gig went pretty good. So, you know, I mean, if it didn't, the next gig after that, eventually, you know, it became better gigs.
Yeah. What were you feeling when you guys got to Hawaii and you were looking at the beach and you were like, yeah,
let's party. Where's the Hawaiian shirts at?
You've always been the partier though, the dude that goes up and talks to everybody, messing around, having a good time, laughs and shit.
Yeah, yeah. I like.
You always broke the ice.
Right, right. Just a bit of a representative, I suppose.
Yeah, know? On the social side.
On the social side, yeah. Not on the business side. Absolutely not. Yeah, that's why I drive a cab today.
An ambassador.
That's why
sorts.
I started my own business.
Yeah. Did you have Mai Tais over there in Hawaii?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mai Tais and, you know, the whole scene.
That was my first time trying a Mai Tai.
But we didn't have any money. Oh, yeah? We didn't have any money. We had, you know, promoter bias. And then they wanted us to go home at the end of that little tour because we didn't have any money. We were like a struggling band still. But getting to fly and getting to go to Hawaii, you know? And so the promoter is, you know, he's poor too. He's a promoter. He's getting money. He's coming out of the pocket. I think eventually he wanted to get out of there, go home, you know? But, you know, we got to meet some friends and have a good time, and it worked out pretty good. We got to go again, you know, so.
Fuck yeah, dude.
My first time in Hawaii, I was wearing a voodoo shirt. And that guy goes, "Hey man, you're voodoo man. I saw him here." So the guy recognized. He saw your voodoo glow school in Hawaii. He works at Duke's. He works at Duke's, bro.
Duke's the beachside restaurant type place, right? Bar restaurant, tourist place.
Wow, man! Somebody said, "Felipe, if you go to Hawaii, go to Duke's." Back then, I was eating a lot of meat, man. Oh man, I could just still think, watch that little Hawaiian dude make my omelets, bro. It was all you could eat.
Damn.
And I only had, okay, I'm only going to go here one time this week.
Yeah.
And this guy, man, I went there early just to get enough chances to eat. And if I was smoking weed, I probably would have ate more food. But I would, man, they made me little waffles with macadamia syrup, man. It was so good with pineapple. And then an omelet with a bunch of bacon.
Yeah,
Duke's tasty ass shit.
Duke's
dude.
Is like that's the touristy restaurant. That's where everybody goes. That's where you go when you buy your package, when you buy your vacation package, and you start to go out and feel the town out. That's like your beginner
little place tourist to destination. And
tourist destination, one of them. You know, you got that Diamond Head and yada yada yada. But you know, being an underground band, you want to go to the lowbrow stuff. It's kind of hard. It's hard to find in Hawaii, in Oahu. Oahu's a bigger city. It's still kind of hard to find the lowbrow stuff there.
Well, how you find it is like promoters, friends, or friends that you meet there from other bands. Like, hey, bro, come over here. We're going to go on this fucking hike that nobody goes to, just locals and shit.
Yeah, but the promoter wants to leave already.
After a couple of days, yeah.
Hell yeah.
These guys are the Blues Brothers, bro. They're drinking more beer than they're getting paid. Yeah,
exactly. We could only sing Rawhide enough. Yeah, it's good, though. Yeah, it's a good time.
You guys ever been robbed? Like, they didn't pay you guys at the end of the night? The promoter took off?
Yeah, lots of times. Yeah, for sure. There's times where we've had to follow the promoter of the ATM. Yeah, a lot of those times, too, you know? Like, promoter can't always afford the band and
keep an eye on them, dude.
You know, early on, I think we got rubbed off a couple times. And then you get a little savvier and savvier. And, you know, it doesn't happen so much. But, there's, you know, what happens is the promoter gives you the sad story, and you got to go.
You got to
follow him to the ATM.
Can you work with me?
Yeah.
You just did.
Yeah, look at the contract, dog.
Payment plan. means you're never going to see your money again.
Yeah. I'm going to follow some comedian named Cisco, bro, to the ATM for $60, bro. He was crying all the way over there. And I said, you drive me. Follow me. No, man, you drive me, man.
You're the one that said.
And drive me back. $60, bro.
Yeah,
you don't need the $60, bro. It's cool.
No, I want the $60.
No, fuck, I work for those $60.
Yeah, the irony of my whole life is I do that now with fares. You know, I get to follow people to the ATM sometimes, you know, in our Uber world.
Talking about Uber.
Yeah, don't let me get started on that.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. What about Lyft?
I think it's a cheaper one, right?
There's a cheaper than that, man. There's cheaper than Lyft. There's
called Hitch.
Cheaper than Uber. Yeah. It's you walking to the Greyhound station in downtown LA and go to the Mexican bus. It's called Turismo Rápido.
Right.
And there's cheaper than that.
Hell yeah.
There's guys there in their cars that'll drive you directly where you want to go.
Yeah.
Directly. My grandmother right there will catch a cab. It'll just be a random guy, like a Mexican man, and she'll drive my grandmother 800 miles, bro, to her house and drop her off inside the house. And then later on, I guess this guy will pick up another fare. Or later on, when she wants to go back to L.A. or she knows someone is going to L.A., that person will have to drive back.
Fucking independent agents.
Most that, I want to ask her, how much a ride like that costs?
From where to where?
800 miles.
800 miles. So what's Frisco? Frisco is about 500 miles?
Yeah.
Frisco's about $1,200. That's a cab, though. You know, now we're cutting prices in half with rideshare services. But then you have, you know, what he calls always existed, the...
Megabus.
No, Megabus, right? That's like the dollar, right? If you can catch it on a good day.
Megabus is going to start having a plane now, bro. It's mega plane.
$12 from Frisco to L.A., bro.
Mega plane, bro. But it's like it has three wheels on it, bro, like a tricycle.
No, yeah, you get to fly it, eh?
The gypsy cabs have always existed. So yeah. The undercutters, you know, they can... You can.
These guys are gypsy cabs.
Yeah, they're gypsy cab guys. Well, the thing is super rogue. They don't carry a commercial insurance, so it's really dangerous to
be in that motherfucker.
Be in that car, just insurance wise. You know, I'm sure the guy's not. I think you'll be all right. Chances are you're gonna be okay with your driver. You know, you're gonna be pretty safe. But you know, insurance wise, it's anything can happen, right? And you might end up. Across the border, might end up in Russia.
With a fucking blood clot.
We have a guest here, Jerry O'Neill, man, formerly drummer of Voodoo Glow School, now cab driver.
What a transition.
That's funny, man. Let's get back to cab driving, man, because people don't know, man. There's a lot of ads that you see in LA or in Echo Park or some shady side of Riverside or San Bernardino where it says, choferes, llámame. 222-444 or it says chauffeur, but they're all in Spanish though. These people that will drive you anywhere. And I one time I needed a ride, bro. I was like, I wanted to go buy crack and then come back, but I didn't want to use a cab.
Yeah.
You know?
Why is that?
And I don't know why. I don't know because I would felt like this fool gonna rat me out. Or it wasn't, hey man, I don't want to go on no mission with you, man.
It wasn't lowbrow enough.
Yeah. So I said I just called one of these guys. So I called one of these guys, and I knew it was shady because he had no speedometer and no whatever, right?
Damn.
So we're both taking a chance now.
Right, he doesn't even have an app. There's no. Yeah, that's pre-apps on your phone.
So I told him to take me to this place and wait. Then I told him, oh, wait, how much is it going to cost? Back and forth. Well, he just went out, looked up in the air, and goes, $35. To take me from where I was living in Boylston, all the way to Frogtown, which is by Dodger Stadium, wait and then come back.
$35 round trip.
Yeah,
pretty good.
But this guy, you know, he didn't speak no English, of course. He didn't have the thing that gives you the price.
What's that shit called, Jerry?
Meter.
I asked him, how come you don't have no tienes un metro para la feria? No, pues cuesta en feria. He goes, how come you don't have one of those money meters? Nah, but those things cost money.
So, yeah.
You don't want your cab ride to be $50, do you?
Yeah, right.
So that's sad. So he took me to go get the crack, and then he took me to the Good Look Bar right there on Hollywood. Is that the Chinese bar, bro?
Like Hollywood like Sunset, thing? Where the little fucking junction right there?
Across the street, the old Blockbuster video. Boo. He dropped me off, and then, of course, you know, he never been there. He reverses. He tries to go forward, and he didn't notice that it has, there's pigs up front. So he flats his two tires.
I've seen a driver do that before. He went the opposite direction. He's
¿Qué no ve, don? Le faltan unos anteojos.
Then I mentioned he don't speak English, so he didn't read that sign that do not enter the spikes. Toma, bro.
She turned into a long ass night for that fool.
Well, he looked at me like I was gonna help him change that tire.
Help. For you too, turned into a long ass night for you too, right? But you're having fun, no. Right?
I wouldn't. That didn't help his ass. I said, God bless you.
that's payment, right?
I repaid him for the ride, dog.
That's a tip, right?
I paid him, you know, whatever, and I went inside the Good Luck Bar, and I told him, "You're gonna be okay." See, te la cambio no rápido. Who the hell has two spare tires, dog?
Oh, so he just made it. He didn't. Okay, just the two, not the four.
Yeah, no, he only smashed two tires were flat, man.
I knew a guy that did the four. See, I was assuming the four, but two, yeah.
He went forward and pa, and then he reversed right away. Right. But I remember that was fucked.
That happens. Those are the real deals, man. They happen.
There should be a show where you, Jerry, call True Life of Cab Drivers.
Yeah. I do it, yeah.
Me and these tire popping hacks.
Well, see, so you started your business, right?
Yeah.
Cab driving?
Yeah, well, yeah. More
one step beyond.
Well, yeah, that's right. You remember that card, huh?
Yeah.
You never used me, man. Well, when you come out there, right? I would have given you. I would hooked you up anyway. I would have.
Next time in Ontario, man.
That's right.
So you're independent.
Yeah.
You don't work for a company.
Well, I lease a cab. I lease a cab through a company, and I have another cab that I bought, and it runs. And I rent that out to another driver, and that's how I make my money.
You ever had people have sex in the back of your cab?
Yes, actually I have, yeah. But not with a customer, ex-girlfriend.
Oh, talking about customers having sex.
Oh, I was like, I thought you were talking about me.
Hey, hey, good old pork pie over here.
Yeah,
stabbing him to death.
yeah, a couple times. I just turn the music up. I don't want to hear anybody's sex noise, man. Yeah, well, you know.
Fool.
I thought you were going to say I pull over and go in the back seat.
Threesome, dog. Where do I put mine, bro? And I know you don't want to hear nobody's little sex stuff or whatever.
Who does?
This fool kicked me out of the pad one time with fool with the Wixen stick chick.
That's because I didn't get any. I wasn't.
Fucking kick my ass out with a heart on, fool. Fuck out of here, man.
Sorry, Rodrigo.
Weren't you guys dating chicks that were all living in the same house?
We're at the smash house.
That's funny, man, because you know it's a bad. I don't know if you guys are still doing it because it's a bad thing.
No, fool, not anymore.
Three girls living in the same house.
Three sisters.
That means they have the same menstrual period every month. Yeah. So there's a chance that the three of you guys could be daddies.
I heard a crazy story.
You know, let
story,
me tell
fool.
You something. Was there ever a time when the three of them were acting crazy at the same time?
Fuck yeah, dog!
Yeah, menstrual period, eh?
Fool, every time this fool didn't fucking
flush the toilet.
If he didn't do good with the chick, the older sister, fool, then she'll get on everybody. Nobody could have sex, dog. No, you guys can't get it on in the room, man. Fuck that. I'm on, dude, fuck that, dude. I'm on, what the fuck?
It was
cock blocking, dog.
It's a house of horrors, bro.
Vacation home.
Yeah, definitely vacation home.
I picture that right now, the way you guys are talking about it, like that old movie photo, that VHS of Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton, bro.
Dude, we had
best little whorehouse in Texas. Yeah.
This one happened to be in Corona.
Best little whorehouse in Corona.
This fool, dude. This fool killed
me. It's fun when it lasts.
Oh, dude, you don't even know, dog. Fool, fuck. Yeah. Everybody be talking
about things like that don't last, huh?
Fuck no, they don't last. They left me hanging, these fools.
You try to regroup again? You can't stand with anybody no more.
Fool, I looked at those three sisters. Now I want to kick them in the fucking head.
What was I thinking?
This fool killed me. Dog. Yeah, man, you guys got the one with big titties. He got the pretty one. I got the fucking old fucked up one, man.
Oh, man.
The old horse.
I was just happy to hang out with you guys.
Man. I think I looked at your ass, fool, and I go, dude.
Jerry just wants to be in the mix.
Yeah. After a while, you weren't even having fun no more, huh? Like sexually, huh? You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Huh? No, you're throwing that fucking dick on the table like dice, huh, fool?
Yeah. It was like shots. We just wanted to do shots. So. Shots.
The little guy got crazy, huh, fool? Like
crossfade. The little guy just falls.
Somebody gets horny. This was somebody, bro, that takes whatever happening, bro, like to the next level, like try to take it to his house or try to move the party to another place.
Nah, but what happened with that shit was they had a fallout with the chick that was renting out the pad, huh?
Yeah, that
was because she had a break.
Should have called me, dog.
You were married, dog.
Yeah. Hey, called Ruby Quintana, bro.
Fucking do a face swap, dog. What happened was that chick wasn't getting no dick no more, so she actually started souring the other chick that this fool was fucking around with. And it all came tumbling down at the end.
Yeah, nobody wants to see anybody else having fun.
I know, huh? That's all mad, huh, with that red face and that red chest, fool.
Yeah, that's too bad.
It was on, fool.
He said, like, nobody wants to see nobody having fun. That's why I didn't show my face around with that chick with him.
I just wanted to hang out with the dudes, man. That was the only time we got together, you know?
We had fun, though, dog.
Should be in a movie, dog.
Barbecues, fool. Piping, dog, no rubbers, just letting loose in that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy, but you have to play a house, bro.
A mean house, fool.
Not even your house. Not even your mortgage. Fuck, dog. Not even your mortgage.
I didn't give a fuck, dog. I was taking shits, not flushing the toilet, fool. Who's this fucking pig that took a shit? I'll be like, Jerry did it.
How many bathrooms they had?
Fool, like six on that house.
Fuck. Yeah. That's a big ass house.
Oh, dude.
Bring your own robe.
Jerry had a voodoo glow scope, bro.
He had a crown.
Yeah.
Talking about robes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, fool.
The rogue robe.
That was a smash house.
Oh, Vinny, huh?
Vinny, dog. That's when he first did it.
He was in love, huh?
Dude, this motherfucker got in love, huh, fool?
I remember that, some big-ass titties, huh?
Big-ass titties, dude. Nice-ass titties, dog. I mean, I never felt them.
She was young, right? Like 20s?
Yeah, his is fucking, what?
So yours were long-ass titties then, Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You had the bowling. Yeah, her boobs were like a tennis ball with a fucking a sock with a basketball in it.
Yeah. Look at Charlie Brown titties, huh, fool?
Pretty close, yeah. Yeah, you got to hold them, you know? When they're in motion, you got to hold them. Yeah.
So. You gotta pick him up, bro. Throw him over like a bag of fucking sand.
Yeah.
Her boobs look like the boobs, bro. You put a sock and you put a lock in there to fuck somebody up.
But the little guy got out of control over there, huh, fool? He crashed his car, huh, fool?
Yeah.
He crashed his car? Why?
He fucking crashed the car into another car, fool. Fucked it all up and took off from the scene. Dude, he was hitting up that shit going... He got crazy because he was like, dude, like knocking, trying to get in through the window and fucking.
Let me in!
Homegirl was telling me, you don't be lying to me. Don't, are you having sex with Rodrigo? like crying, drunk. Meanwhile, he had his chick on the other side of town at home.
Yeah, two chicks.
Crying for that fool, dog.
Yeah, two chicks.
That's when that fool got busted, fool. He got busted because he passed out at where he's really staying with that chick with the no lock on the phone. Fucking shit blowing up. Bing. Where at you? Where you at, babe? Bing. We need you at the Smash House, babe. Bing. Who the fuck is this bitch? And it all came crashing down.
Get therapy. Don't fall in love. All the time.
All the time. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Once in a while is great. Or, you know.
I'm still waiting to fall in love myself, you know?
Summer love.
This fool. You and your lying ass fool. This fool took me camping one time. Come on, come camping, man. Fucking third wheel over here, dog. Fucking, we're going to find you. You're going to find your lady, man. The lady that, you know those chicks that you like, man? She's going to be there, man. Fool, it was the worst time of my fucking life. Fool didn't take a shower for 3 days inside this fucking tiny ass fucking Brian Herbertson C-3PO's fucking parents camper, dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you guys were both married, fool. Shout out to the ex-wives.
The exes and the exes.
Yeah.
Exes and those.
So you've been married before?
Once, yeah.
Once?
Once in a long, it's been a while. It's been like 22 years. I was married for 7 years. 7 year itch.
Huh. No kids?
No kids, no.
It's like, I was part of the divorce too, dog.
Yeah, that's right.
You kept me, dog.
Yeah, that's right.
So you met when you were 14?
14 and a half is what. I didn't really start hanging out with this fool until I was like 15 and a half. Because when this fool started coming by, he already had his shit together, had his girlfriend just playing drums. And fool would be chilling there. And this fool would just go by there and bag on him real quick and take off. and do it. He would just take off. And then I started hanging out with him a lot because his wife's like, come over here with us. What are you hanging out with those losers for?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, fuck it. I'll hang out. And we had fun, dog. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was cool, dog.
Yeah, I need a little partner in crime.
And then those fools would be, I don't know why he's over there hanging out with him, dude. Hang out over here, dude. We ain't going to get mad, dude. They got mad. What's going on in that Mustang, dude?
How many albums are you on the Voodoo Glows Goes?
Seven or eight.
They're on their, what, 25th anniversary?
Yeah, no, I, you know, 30, I think it's 28th.
28th?
Yeah, I was out in 22 years, Mark. 22, I think 28. Yeah, I, you know, I live with Eddie, the guitar player, and I, to me, it's, I can't know, I don't know how they can still do it. Not, you know, not that they can't. I just, I'm tired. I was tired at 22 years. I burned out, and they just keep on trucking. You know, I commend them. So,
so hard, that's hardcore, so hard, huh? 22 years.
So you 22 is hardcore. 28 years sounds hardcore.
Plus, you're a party animal too, so that's wear and tear too. Because sometimes you just want to party at home now.
Yeah, right.
I saw a video of Voodoo Glow School and you guys. I don't know, an old video at my house where there's a fucking chick. You guys were doing a show in Mexico, maybe, I don't know if it was Tijuana or Mexico City.
It was TJ.
There's this fat chick, man, who's a Voodoo Glow School fan. She's like a goth chick, and you guys are writing Voodoo Glow School on her forehead.
She was all drunk and shit.
She was drunk. It was like.
We shaved her.
It was, you guys shaved her. You guys shaved her head?
You shaved her armpits.
Yeah, you guys shaved her armpits.
We cleaned her up a little bit.
It was funny, man. You guys shaved her fucking armpits. And then she's fucking saying, yeah, and taking the shit outside or something.
Dude, there's a scene where she fucking hits her head on this cupboard like hard.
Hard, yeah.
And this fool wouldn't stop rewinding it. Let's watch it again, dog.
It was good, bro. It was a good bump, bro.
A mean-ass smack, fool. And you hear fucking voice in the background giggling.
Yeah. That was.
You hear Jerry in the back say, that's my lady. It's my mija.
You know, I think she was after Frank, but Frank wasn't having it. Yeah. Yeah, she was going for the singer, and he wasn't having it.
He was going for the singer, dog.
Yeah, and...
But she had drummer looks.
Yeah. So, man,
did you have a lot of groupies as a drummer for a big band like that?
No, you know, the band didn't really pay attention to a lot of that, you know? The band had a strong work ethic, and a lot of the guys were married. So there wasn't really fucking around, you know. It was all business. Go on the road, party. You know, put the bottle was my girlfriend. You know, just party and hang out and people, and you know, come back home not guilty. You know, that was the whole thing. Really.
What's one of the biggest shows you did? Like, was that in Brazil or in South America or where? The biggest punk gig you said was like when you said, "Damn, there's a lot of people, a lot of free beer here."
Yeah, that was I think it was Hultsfred. It must have been Hultsfred in Sweden. Hultsfred's festival in Sweden was pretty big. That was, for us, big, you know, because we were playing the side stage, and 30, 40,000 is big, you know. The main stage is, a lot of those European festivals are 200,000, 150 to 200,000 seater, you know, so even the side stage is no slouch. And that's what we were doing, you know. It's still underground band, playing the smaller stage, still big. I mean, those festivals still run that way for years and years and years and years. There's just cities of fans that, you know, it's how Coachella got their idea.
Oh yeah,
it stems from a European.
Same thing with Lollapalooza, dude. They were all like festival. Fucking Perry. What's that dude from Jane's Addiction said that he just copied the European festival.
Yeah, I remember. Model. I remember him quoting that. And Coachella, no different. Same thing. You know, the thing is, you know, like America, it's new. You know, everything. A lot of it's new out here. You know, Europe's been doing shit for years and years, and a lot longer than us. And the festivals have been running since like the 50s and 60s. Like that long. There's been festivals running, you know.
Roskilde is one of those festivals.
Roskilde is one of them. Yeah, that's been running for years. And so, you know, they know how to do it. And that's how we got our festivals recently. Like, you know, yeah, those are great. Like, those are great times going out there. The band still gets to do that, which is kind of cool. You know, I hopefully get to do some. I have a couple side bands myself, and I hope I get to do a couple little things like that. You know, I'm just a weekend warrior now, so I'll be happy just doing maybe a couple weeks here and there, you know, with my new side bands. So yeah, things are good.
Did you ever get into a fight with another band?
Oh yeah.
Hey man, they stole our kits. They stole our guitars.
Yeah, a lot of fights. A lot of fights with...
Even like with that famous one over there when you guys were in England and you jumped off the stage and fucking socked that fool?
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, you know, a lot of the fights when I was in the band stemmed from when Bush was in office. When Bush Jr. was in office.
You guys were going to Europe and people were talking shit, all America. Well,
for some reason, they thought we knew him and they wanted us to relay the message. But, you know, you know, and like, we, you know, lay off, because it's always political. You know, our band's not political at all. Like, nothing political about it. We don't know enough about politics to start a conversation about it. And a lot of Europeans would want to start that, you know, we start drinking, all of a sudden, some European dude wants to chime in about our president and think that we know him, and he wants us to relay the message to him. And then, you know, when you're drinking,
George Bush is pussy.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, but then you're starting getting drunk yourself, and you're thinking, okay, this guy really is talking shit about your land, you know. So it turns into kind of a soccer match type thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like a, you know, like a, and it just turned. It got pretty ugly a couple of times, and it was fun though, you know. I gotta admit, it was really fun. Well, because, you know, being on the road, you miss home, and you get burned out and
restless and shit.
Restless, and you just want to fuck somebody up. And that's not your bandmate, you know. You know, so you take it out on somebody else. You know.
Me too, man. Sometimes on the road, I want to punch everybody at the free breakfast.
Yeah. This is the worst, dude.
Yeah.
And you get these redneck kids, bro, with no socks early in the morning, and their dad's not wearing no socks either.
Everything bugs you in the morning.
And they're standing behind me with no socks.
Pushing and shit.
Pushing. The only one that's dressed is a wife, and I'm smiling at her.
Yeah.
Oh, she has class.
I can't watch somebody eat cereal in the morning in front of me. Like, there's little things in the morning that bug you, you know.
I love cereal, bro.
You love cereal.
I ate cereal in the afternoon.
I love cereal, but I can't watch somebody eat it because it's. Have you ever seen that episode of Seinfeld where they can't? I think it's Elaine that doesn't like, can't stand watching people slurp their coffee in the morning.
Yeah,
there's a certain noise in the morning. If it's stuff, my point is stuff ticks you off in the morning a little more than you're a little. You know, you're a little on edge in the morning. You're just waking up, right? You're cranky.
How about people on low carb diets?
Yeah.
I need my sugar.
I just eat hors d'oeuvres.
This full hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
Meats. What's the craziest shit you guys eating on tour, dog?
Not much, you know.
Were you on that tour where they fed you guys horse and fucking?
Oh yeah, the horse
in France.
Yeah, it was. I ate it anyway. I was hungry, you know. But Frank, the singer, doesn't like. He never tried. He's just meat and potatoes guy, you know. Not horse or potato, not that kind of meat, just, you know, standard beef. He wasn't having it, you know. He took off. He was like, oh, he was disgusted when he found out after the fact. Yeah, horse is pretty bad.
Yeah. Does it taste bad or what does it taste like?
Different,
I mean, I'm
huh?
sure people like it, but, you know, it was okay. It was gamier. You know, it's minerally, just gamier and, yeah, not that great. And I've tried some weird fish before. That was pretty exotic. Not much, though. You find these foods like in, you know, a lot of these foods in like Japan and weird, you know, countries like that. So you just don't go for it or do. Go for it.
And how about when you went back home to Costa Rica, dog, and you guys did those shows there? How was that shit?
Oh, it was great. It was a homecoming. Yeah. And the band thought it was great, too. Hadn't been there in years, and it was great to see family and have them see what I do. And the cool thing was that was the biggest shows of the tour, not because I was from there, but it's just there was that many more fans. And then it was cool for me to see my band be excited about a place that I came from, to be that enthusiastic about our band. And that was pretty neat.
How did your family receive you after all these years?
Man, I felt bad.
Mucho amor y besos.
Yeah, it was great. Oh,
mucho orgullo, Gerardo.
It was great because they made the effort. They brought some little clothes that they've had for years.
Shut up, fool.
Like a little jacket, a little pair of pants.
No Popeye they brought suit. With me. Like,
shut up,
and they
dog.
Made a big collage with, you know, with pictures.
And then they said they were like waiting for you, and they had, you know,
yeah,
Gary.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. They're, you know, like a super fan would. But this is super family, you know. They're just, you know, they're excited to see me. But the thing is, I don't think we'd slept in a couple of weeks through the Central and South American tour. And I was cranky. Now that was, you know, I think we're sleeping like maybe 1 or 2 hours a night. Typically, you know, that happens on a tour, especially when you're bouncing around flight to flight from
and drinking.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just. Tired, and I was received by my family, and I just remember feeling a little bad because I was really short because I just wanted to get to the hotel and sleep.
Very lethargic.
Yeah, because I just wanted to play a good show in front of them, and then I was just kind of I think they read that. Hopefully they read that, you know. So those are that was a good. They received us good.
Who was there? Grandparents, uncles,
yep,
nieces,
all of them. All of them. It was a full house.
Yeah, brothers.
No, cousins? Well, I have a sister that lives here.
You have cousins over there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you keep in touch with them before that, or you just how did you get a hold of them?
Yeah, this is
MySpace. What?
MySpace. I think this is pre MySpace.
Even pre MySpace.
I think it's pre MySpace. Maybe around MySpace, but you know, I don't think a lot of these third world countries didn't really get into the picture until or get the program with it until Facebook, really.
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of a recent thing still, kind
oh,
of
hell
actually, you know. I think it's my grandmother telling them on the strength of my grandmother telling them that we're gonna be out there, and then, you know, it domino effects, and they tell the whole family and everybody comes out, and it's,
so just tired, so you got to hug them, right?
Oh yeah no I mean,
did they have a plate for you with aluminum foil ready? Some tamales?
Oh, yeah.
Puerto Rican food?
No food. Just the collage, like I said. No, but the thing is, like, I had to get good sleep for the show because I wanted to play well and, like, you know, just not suck. And but it's a different story after the show. You know, that's when, okay, I don't care if I'm tired or not. I'm going to crack these beers with you guys and let's hang out.
So what happened?
Oh, we just hung out and partied and, you know, as long as we could.
Did they bring out the photo album?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I got choked up. You know, what's funny is years later, my grandmother, you know, when you're when she would tell me, if you're in contact with them, tell them you're still in the band.
You know? They don't want to go that Latin thing of ask you questions. So, ¿por qué no estás en el grupo?
Yeah.
¿Qué pasó? Yeah. ¿Fueron ellos o fue tú?
Yeah, really.
Who was it, Gerardo?
Yeah, I don't know why she would say that, but, you know, I guess, yeah, what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know. It was.
No queremos conflicto, nomás buenos días.
Yeah, I, you know, like Latin families, as far as mine was concerned, they try to downplay everything a little bit. You know, not hype it up so much. Keep it homegrown kind of type of thing. It was a weird thing when I was a kid. Like, you know, I
don't want to be going on getting too big.
Yeah, don't get too
big on me.
That's the whole thing, I think.
Calma, cabrón. Oh, man, that's funny you say that about your family that wants you to get too big, but they want you to be happy.
Successful, you know what I mean? Yeah.
What's the name of that kid? What's the name from the Partridge Family? The redheaded fool, Danny Bonaducci. When he was on Howard Stern, he was with he was supposed to do a big show, right, with the Partridge Family, and Sinatra was on the show, but he was a smaller bill. He goes, look, Dad, my name is on top and above Sinatra, and his dad slapped the fuck out of him. Let me tell you something: you'll never be on top of Sinatra, okay?
That's fucking hardcore. Huh?
Slapped the shit out of him, bro. And he was supposed to perform that night.
And fucked up his performance, probably.
So now when I see Bonaducci, bro, on that fucking, on that cruiser board with a bottle of fucking vodka and a bottle of fucking cranberry juice.
Yeah.
I've done that shit, dog.
I remember this.
That's hard.
But without a board.
I remember that footage. It was on that reality show.
Yeah.
Right?
Bonaducci or whatever.
Drinking Bonaducci, bro, he gets pissed off. He goes to like a 7-Eleven or Circle K, grabs a big bottle of cranberry juice and a bottle of fucking vodka and throws a bag away, and he's on his fucking cruiser board You know, he's doing this for the television, but of course. I'm pretty sure he would have done that anyways.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I just hammed it up a little bit.
Yeah, but I've done that shit.
He was on that curb and shit.
Where you're just like, shaking, pissed off. And
no, man, I'm pissed off when I just don't give a fuck. When I just want to keep drinking. And I'm by myself now. Nobody wants to drink with me no more. I don't give a fuck.
That's when it gets dark.
It's all about, yeah, it does get dark, man. The shades are drawn. You're watching, you're listening to fucking Counting Crows by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, well.
Yeah, I must say, I to tell you the truth, I thought, you know, I was a little nervous today because I'm still a little nervous. Thanks for having me, but I thought this was going to be an intervention, really. I expected to see Dr. Drew come through the door or something, you know?
See Adam Carolla's big ass teeth. Hey, how you doing, Jerry? Yeah, I'm here with the guys.
Yeah, so.
No, man, relax, dog.
Yeah, chill out, dude. Yeah. But not intervention for what?
I just came out of this party weekend.
I don't want you to drive that cab no more.
That intervention, I don't know if we ever talked about this or he wants it to be known, but I don't think he listens. They had an intervention for a friend of ours. He went to back home, and then all his family got together, and they told him to stop doing stand-up comedy.
That sounds kind of familiar. Right?
Please stop with the one-liners.
Basically, say stop embarrassing yourself.
My family had never gotten together to tell me to stop doing anything. Bro.
That never happened to you.
I think it's just like he'll figure it out.
Yeah. One day, he'll kill himself.
That's fool, dog.
So that's never happened to you. They never try to stop you from doing that, Felipe, then, all right?
They got only the Father Greg Boyle when he took me to rehab. That's like an intervention, right?
Kind of.
But nobody got together and fucking said, you've been doing this and you've been doing that.
Damn. Yeah. How about you, Jerry? No?
What's that?
Intervention.
Oh, no. I was handling my shit, really, you know? Yeah, no. I've taken it, that's maybe a form of denial, but, you know, I take my shit, you know, even if I'm a little hungover and party's up. You know, I don't party like I used to, really. I can just get out of my system once or twice a week, if that, and then, you know, go back to tour
where there ain't no more weed?
Yeah.
Or New Orleans, huh?
Yeah. Have you ever been on the tour with no weed with a band that smokes a lot of weed? Yeah, that's.
I never been.
After a month. That's.
What, a month?
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Man, Rodrigo, man, that fool loses his mind sometimes. But a whole month?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. I'm saying on the road with a band for a month.
All of a sudden, there's no
and
weed.
And there's no weed for a couple of days, 3-4 days, maybe a week.
People start telling you how they really feel about your ass.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a weird thing about the road is you want to. As much as you want to be out there, you want to go home also. I mean, I wish I can go home every night and use my shower and, like, you know, and then, you know, kiss my wife or and then go back out and play the show next night. But, you know, towards the end, you know, in the beginning, you want to go on the adventure of your lifetime. You keep it going, keep it going. And, you know, that gets old and being home gets old. It's a weird dynamic that kind of takes a hold of you and takes you through the journey, really. So. Yeah, the weed thing. The thing about weed back in the day is nobody had weed back in the day.
Nobody had good weed.
That's the thing, you know, especially when you go east of California, you're like, weed got worse. We got, you know, just low grade and
you get sick
almost non-existent, really, in some place. Then you start traveling further east when you get into Europe and there's none at all, you know, early on, we played. I heard the band recently got to smoke really good weed in Japan. But for years, when I was going there, it was really taboo. So
I remember that shit.
You go to prison. Some of those countries, those smoking rules are pretty hardcore, like death hardcore.
Yeah, Singapore and shit.
You know, yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't been to some of those countries that's super scary. But I've been to those countries where if you live there, if you're born and raised there, you lose your job and all kinds of stuff like that, you know, and you get exiled pretty much. You don't get to work a normal job for the rest of your life. So back then you're looking for weed, and we did find it a couple times, but we'd have to go to some closet somewhere and smoke it with like five dudes, you know, or, you know, five band members, a couple locals, and your session was, you know, in and out within like 5 minutes because it was just a weird, sketchy thing.
How was the weed though? Bad, huh?
Horrible. Horrible. So, yeah, my point
people getting mad, huh?
Yeah, so I guess my point is now, even when I was in a bad week, got a little easier to find and better grade. And it's a different animal now, right?
Yeah, and then the more times you go back to those cities, you get those homies that pull out that bomb weed.
Man,
bomb
if I had no weed, man, and then that's all I did was smoke weed. And then my brother's right there, too, and he drinks and smokes weed. But then he starts fucking with me. It's going to be a fight, dog. There's going to be a fucking fight. I'm going to bring up shit from that nobody else knows. It's going to get ugly, dog. Did it get uncomfortable for you? Like, they're brothers, right?
Oh, yeah.
It must be uncomfortable. Like, you're like watching a domestic family, you know? Like, I remember people, I would go to my friend's house, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, dude, he started arguing with his wife. And I'm like, I'm in the background. Oh, I did it too. I would have my friend Ivan over, and I don't know. We're in the other room yelling, bro. And we bring it into the living room. And I look at Ivan, tell her, bro. And he's like, hey, man, I just thought we were going to play Madden. Oh, yeah. One time I got pissed off because Ivan told me that his brother was going to do a favor for us, whatever, right? And then I told my son's mom, yeah, don't worry about it. It's going to be taken care of. Ivan's brother's going to take care of it. Then, like, she asked, which brother? And I said, what the fuck, which brother? I'll make up a brother, Sam. He's Sam is going to fucking take care of it.
He told me that story. He said, pick a brother, any fucking brother.
So that ticked me off.
Oh,
bro.
Dude.
I don't know why.
Because
I finally took care of the problem, but now it's already done. Why are you asking more questions?
I know, huh?
That pisses me off. So, man, I don't know why I had him. He was like, they're like at the third party, bro. I'm scared.
I've been that story of my life, fool. Life for the third wheel over here, dog.
So, never you ever been in a situation like that with a band or checks bounce or. Motherfucker said, where my rose is, you was motherfucker. I heard the song on MTV last night.
Actually, no, not
really. That's how I hound people for money.
Yeah. You know,
it's, you live in my house.
Yeah, no, you know, it's always been on an honest level, you know, as far as I know, you know. And, but I know I remember sitting on the couch at my house and I heard one of my songs on TV and I was like, oh shit. You know, instantly you think money, you know.
I think that song was called Cha-Ching.
Yeah. And then so exactly.
It's a casino hit.
So I called the other guys and I go, dude, did you watch that? He's like, oh, I didn't know that was on there. And the next guy tells the other guy and the other guy. And then, you know, sometimes lawyers go ahead and do stuff that you don't really know what's, you know, going on, exactly what's going on. And, you know, band members always last to know, you know. And
always.
Yeah.
They told the producer.
And then, you know, then it plays out. And then, a couple of weeks later, you get a check in your mail. You're happy. It's quite a little surprise, you know.
All this thing about.
Especially when you're, you know, a broke little band.
Yeah.
You know, growing up. You know, so those are good surprises. So, yeah.
Man, you guys ever been together somewhere where you guys kind of go, man, you know what? This was going to happen. We're either going to get high and just be high, or we're going to eat and just eat.
Yeah.
I'll choose high and be high, bro.
Stay high.
I've been hungry in my hotel room, man.
Fuck yeah, dog.
What happened to you, man, when you're just hungry in your hotel room?
Oh, yeah. No. It happens. I think it happened a couple weeks ago, actually.
You going to raid the vending machine?
Yeah. No, that's the thing. No, man. I just went, a couple weeks ago, I went to this one of my favorite venues in the world. Really, one of my top five favorite venues in the world is Pappy and Harriet's Pioneer Town. So I
where's that at?
It's going over there by dude. You know where it's at? Where you went to the birthday party for Eric Andre? For where that little trailer's at and shit.
Okay, I know where that is. Yeah.
So I was
actually a badass spot, dog.
I didn't want to spend a lot of money on the whole trip, and you don't have to, but I still wanted to be a little cheap. And my plan was to stay checking at the cheapest hotel I could find and the cheapest cab ride from from the hotel to the venue.
Got a teepee.
Because, you know, they have a venue on the premises, but it's always booked up, and that's the ideal one you want. And it's the cleanest one. It's really nice.
Right there.
It's
walk to
shabby,
it.
Shabby, chic hotel. You know, it's great. It's walk, stumble a distance. You're going to have a great night. So, but I chose the cheap hotel because, I wanted, like I said, I want to keep it cheap that weekend. And, you know, but I prepared because I knew with getting a cheap hotel, you know, there's going to be not going to be any vending machines around. You know, especially with a sleepy town like, you know, Joshua Tree. It's not a big population, and there's not much. There's maybe a 7-Eleven down the road, but you're not going anywhere because you're drinking. You know, that's the whole point. We're drinking, we're partying. You won't be self-contained in the hotel room. So I planned on it with ice chest, little ice chest in the room. And, you know, I always bring a comforter. That's the thing. I always bring a comforter because I want to roll around.
In lily pad.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like they never wash a comforter at hotels. So just the sheets. Most of the time they don't wash a comforter. So you bring your own comforter to be comfortable. And, anyway, so I bring my little, you know, my stash of stuff so I can be comfortable. And so I bring a sandwich with me because I knew I'm going to be hungry at the end of the night and there's not going to be shit around. So, like I said, I walk into the room and I bring my ice chest in there and I put the sandwich on top of the refrigerator. And not even 30 seconds later, right, you know, these roaches were
commando roaches.
Commando roaches, yeah.
Fucking bionic roach shit. Like,
roaches, you don't see roaches. You don't ever see roaches. You only see them.
They do their work at night.
Exactly. They do work at night. But these roaches were ruthless and they can't.
Ooh, what do you got here, y'all?
You could hear these roaches marching to the sandwich. And I was, oh, hell no. This is the Damn. Kind of hotel you're staying at. Okay. You pay for what you pay. Yeah. The reason why I got the hotel like that, I'm saying I'm being cheap and I just want to party and just lay my head a couple hours and go and take the road back home so I'm not still drunk or whatever.
Ended up getting a roach massage.
I took my sandwich with me. Yeah. So I took my sandwich with me and yeah, I had my sandwich the whole night during the show.
$38 a night.
Yeah. It was called the Hat Rack Hotel. Yeah.
Getting Rolling Stone over here.
Yeah, it was great. So, yeah, didn't leave the sandwich there. And the thing is, I brought a tent with me because I wanted to go. You can camp on the premises there
for go get 10 bucks a night.
Yeah, well, Well, it's relatively safe out there. So I brought my I tried to pitch the tent in the room so I wouldn't have to sleep around the – at this point
– You wanted some privacy?
Saw a lot of Wes Anderson movies.
I love that movie. Well, you know, there's no – the room's so small, so shitty. There's not even room to pitch a tent in the room, you know.
He started a fire and shit.
Well, because you think about the roaches, then you start thinking about bed bugs.
Okay, Richie Tenenbaum over here.
What'd you have?
You start thinking about bed bugs, you know. You start thinking about critters crawling in your ear. It just drives me nuts. So I just –
oh, my God. Yeah, me too.
You know, so I – you know, I stayed up the whole night that night. And, this is a couple weeks ago, actually.
When we spent that night at my cousin's house, they had a rat somewhere, I guess. And every night, that fool tried to break into a box. You could hear him like this.
That's how they do it, dog. Their whiskers are sensors, so as soon as you hit a human foot on the ground, they'll stop.
What? That's nasty.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, so they came out. And you know the thing is you can't – they had a fridge there that was working, but roaches are known to crawl get into your fridge also.
No, hell yeah.
You know, well, Rodrigo, right?
They'll get in those fucking seams, dude. There's people that have roaches inside their refrigerators, dog.
They'll lay eggs in that little tape for it open.
Fuck yeah, dog.
So I took the sandwich with me.
It's been a good ass sandwich, bro.
I know, but
did you get Ike's?
Save me some.
Yeah, no. I didn't carry it around with me through the whole show. You know,
it was in a backpack. It was so big.
Damn great. I brought it from Costa Rica. Yeah,
I knew I'm gonna want the sandwich. You know, later. So my friend happened to be staying at the nice hotel on the premises, and I was able to keep the sandwich.
Could I stash it in here, bro?
Yeah, and I yeah.
There's so a bite taken out, huh?
Yeah. Well. Yeah, well, it was sections, so, you know, I think everybody know the sandwich made it home. The sandwich made it back to the Hat Rack Hotel, and we feasted. And
feasted? Feasted.
What are you doing this week? We're feasting.
Good times, man. That's a
good time, man.
So yeah. Won't you smell that good-ass hot mayonnaise, bro?
Anyway, being home, I try to create little adventures like that after not being on the road. I do miss it, so.
You do, fool?
Once in a while, yeah.
I stay in hat roaches for fun.
There's plenty of trouble. There's plenty of trouble in Southern California if you're not on the roads. Almost too much, you know? Like fun little pockets.
Yeah,
little
the smash house.
Smash house. R.I.P., dog.
See, man, I wish I had a grip of dough to recreate one, you know? A set in your backyard. Hey, I'm going to go hang out with the dudes in my backyard.
Let me tell you something. You know a smash house will take 5 years off your life every 10 years, right? You know that, right?
Dude, that's a lot of wasted time just having sex doing nothing, huh? And barbecuing.
Hell yeah, fool.
You got kicking it like eastbound and down, bro.
Hell yeah, dog.
Blazing and shit.
Yes, fool.
If you're a partier, man, sex is a little too much work sometimes, you know?
Fuck. Yeah. It only takes a couple pumps. You ain't got no more pumps left.
Still too much work, man. Didn't Bernie Mac say that? I was like, too much work.
I just picture Jerry already done having sex, bro. Waiting for you guys to finish it.
Yeah, he'd be the first one ready, alone, man.
I have to talk.
Hang out. I just want to hang out.
I'm over here just fucking trying to get bites out.
I just want to hang out. Should have hung out.
You should have hung out, man.
Those chicks on boats.
No, but that other chick had a boat.
Yeah.
The owner of the house. We're supposed to go to Havasu in that boat. It never happened.
Just motorboats, baby said.
Too far. We wanted fun. We wanted fun at convenience. Close couple of cities.
You guys spend the night there?
Hell yeah. Fool.
So those three hot chicks and then three of you guys?
Yeah, and a mad chick.
It was a forest girl.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't have a man at that time.
She was mad. She probably went rat everybody out.
Fuck, imagine, fool.
Yeah.
They don't even talk anymore, huh, dog? She's on her own trip now, huh?
Yeah, she
is. I heard some shit that fucking, what's her name, tried to say, I don't know, man. That looks like it could be Rodrigo's kid. It doesn't look like the dad.
She was actually the cooler one.
Hell yeah.
She was actually the cooler one. She wasn't available. I mean, she was available, but nobody's.
I know you wanted to crawl in there and tear that shit up.
She was the coolest one.
Look at this little dog.
But, you know, you can't run through the smash house. You're appointed. You can't run. It's not an orgy. It's not an orgy.
Huh? No, you're not gonna fucking stick your dick in her.
Yeah. That old chestnut.
How long did the good time last? Eh?
What was that? Like a good 2 month run or three?
No, longer than that.
Four.
You were posting photos sometimes, man.
Yeah, I didn't give a fuck. I was like, fuck. Hey, kicking.
Yeah.
Before Instagram.
That was a prison chick.
Yeah, that was a prisoner right there, fool.
Hell yeah, man.
Oh, the prisoner chick. Yeah, the prisoner girl. Yeah, the prisoner girl, right.
Just to make spread for everybody?
Nah, fool.
I think she's the hottest one, though.
Hell yeah, dog.
Were there kids running around, though?
Yeah, the little kid. The girl. She had custody of the girl at that time.
It was at that house. Remember when I took her to that house in Drew Street?
Oh, that shit was fucking pitiful, dog.
I didn't know that fucked up, bro.
It was fucked up.
I've only been there once time at night.
Dude, we're over there fucking hitting the bong, little kids in diapers right there with weed smoke in their face. I was like, dude, man.
But they made some good ass ceviche, though.
Scandalous, huh?
I didn't know this girl that well, man. I went to her house a couple of times, you know, but I never went to her daytime. And then, like, she kept bugging me, come to my house. We're watching the Laker game.
Yeah,
so I go over there, man, and man, she's a total ghetto chick, man, in the daytime. She was wearing Thunder fucking Uggs and shorts.
Oh, man, that's a look right there.
Uggs and shorts and a Laker jersey, big hoops and a Laker hat. And these are chicks that are not allowed at the Forum or Staples Center because they might stab somebody.
Or steal
and
something.
There's another chick with her baby, and she ain't blazing, but she's mad. And then another chick shows up, and all young girls with babies. And then, like, I'm just hitting a bong, happy. I mean, like, I have kids too, man. I don't give a fuck. I'm at least just watching them. But I'm hitting a bong, little kid running around a diaper, and then finally I said, man, if you want to leave, we'll leave, eh? But we're in the heart of the gang and the shit that was in gangland.
That's when it was going down, dog. And
I didn't even know, man.
So you got to mind yourself a little bit, right?
Yeah, we didn't even fucking pay. It was to us, it wasn't even happening because we're there during the day. It was a regular day hanging out at some other chick's house again.
Yeah, you're like,
fuck it.
Get me out of here at the same time. You want to stay and see what happens, right?
Yeah, man. Smash House didn't start there at all, man. It was more like we dipped. We took off.
You didn't keep the scene alive.
Hell no, man.
You want to become victims.
Hell no.
I'll be talking shit about us right there fucking 2 years later with the kid. That motherfucking fat motherfucker.
I'm after hitting a bong. I said, man, I didn't know this chick was hardcore like that.
Yeah,
eh?
Fool. They look like the chicks that had fucking guns stashed in that pad, dog. Man.
I'm hanging out with them, the live and the movie set of Mi Vida Loca.
Hell yeah, the real one, dog.
So what's up, man? You think like a lot of bands say now, you know, a lot of people, you know, there's people on podcasts that say like, they like Dean Del Rey or people like that, or people in bands, they say that Napster ruined their sales.
Yeah, in the beginning, but then it turns into a different animal, really.
And pirating and all that.
Yeah, but I think you conform to it. Yeah, it does in the beginning because you don't know how to deal with it or acclimate to it.
Right.
You know?
And especially if there's someone that's huge like Metallica that's going to cut into their cells, they're going to get pissed and start talking shit. But that band got big off of fucking tapes that they used to send across the country, right? Yeah. Little demo tapes and created a scene out of that shit.
You know, a couple things happen. It's flight or fright, you know? You kind of figure it out, you know, and make the best of it. And you got to be in it's a world of live music now, you know. I mean, way more shows than there were before. Yeah, there's more shows than before. I mean, the reason why you see more shows now is because nobody's selling records, really. You know, in an underground sense, you know, or a mid-level sense, you know.
I think the artists don't lose no money, man. I think the record companies do, but the record companies don't want to say that we're losing money, but it's not. Especially the record company losing money because the artist makes tons of money on touring. That's where his money comes in.
Yeah. At a certain level.
Pirating and bootlegging can never cut into that shit.
Fuck no.
No, never.
Yeah,
no.
But it's also the label saying, hey guys, we're losing money. And then the artist were, yeah, we are losing money.
Yeah, man, I'm losing fucking 25 cents.
Like, fuck, you're getting jacked from fucking your deal anyways.
Yeah, labels just start to fold, you know, for sure.
No more Christmas parties, huh?
No more Christmas parties. no more company cards.
No more bonuses.
You know, they're smaller labels now.
They and our guys in the back.
It was from groupies to smash houses.
You know, the coolest label I experienced lately was not because I've done business with them or I've just noticed from afar was Burger Records. And, they're selling records, you know, on the underground level, they're selling records and, you know, they're being creative with the times and with the nostalgia. And so they're selling vinyl and cassettes and, you know, just hipster shit, you know? I went to a show recently, like a whole Burger Records show, and they spared no expense for the party. They forked the money out for the big party, the big backstage party, had everybody come in, and you could tell they were grassroots, and they weren't really there to, you know, to make, you know... I think that was smart by keeping it'll keep the label popular and keep it, you know, going and people seeing that it's a hip label and it's really grassroots and they're not there to, you know, to be the big corporate monster that, you know, that owns that big fat house on a hill somewhere, you know, real grassroots. So that's what's popping up everywhere is this little grassroots label that keep it pretty real, you know. So I think that's how it is now, all these boutique labels. We're going to keep it, you know, going, you know, as far as grassroots go. And a lot of them are signing bigger bands, you know, like bigger alternative bands, you know. So, you know, I'm talking alternative music and underground music. I don't know how the world, my major labels and, you know, the Rihannas of the world are pulling it through now. I don't know, you know. I know probably major labels are folding and a lot of those artists are creating their own thing, really, you know.
But you still, like Voodoo Glow Skulls, they came from a DIY standpoint, so they were always that way.
That's what saved the band.
Right. Because, yeah. I mean, if they went corporate, if you guys got a record deal right away and fucking got all that love and then no more love,
that's
bankrupted out of fucking what the fuck you guys do, right?
Right, that's what saved the band.
From backyard parties to fucking legitimate shows to label to a bigger independent label. You got mad distribution. And then the work ethic, still there.
The work ethic was a big thing. That's what saved the band, you know, really. It's like, I would suppose it would be equivalent to like a blue-collar job, a blue-collar band, right? You're just doing the work and you're getting paid for your hard work. Yeah, that's good, you know?
Yeah, man.
So what are you working on now? With the two other bands, you're touring?
No touring. I still don't have the itch for touring at all.
Any shows 22. Coming up you want to tell the fans?
Yeah. Watch you? Yeah, I have a couple of side bands that I started. I have actually three bands. One's a Hito. Now it's a ukulele hero, and he does it's a punk rock and it's a cover band. It's punk rock and oldies covers, and it's me with this little glorified percussion kit, and I back up. It's his project, and I back him up, and
with the beats,
and it's actually starting to take off. It's getting pretty popular, but because of my work schedule, I can't do all the shows. So again, that's like my little side project. And I have another one called Dead Sparrows. That's my project. And we actually have a show coming up. I'll remind you of that show in a second here as soon as I look it up. But that's coming up down in Riverside, I want to say June. Anyway, so I have another side band. I'll get to that in a second. I have another side band called Emily and the Blackouts, and that's with the guitar player Voodoo. That's Eddie, the guitar player Voodoo. And that one's fresh, and it's just we're recording right now and see what happens with that. But that's pretty good little band, and you know it's like one of those bands that can kind of take off and go through the roller coaster. Not the '90s roller coaster, because that doesn't exist anymore, really. You know, of having a band get really super popular. But that one's kind of promising, and I don't think at this point anybody has time to tour. With that, so that'd be more of a recording thing, and maybe a couple Southern California shows, and maybe a couple jaunts up north, and maybe like a week somewhere else in the country or something like that. Which, that's what ideally would want to happen. But as for now, it's really young, and I like to see it take off a little bit, but not the monster it was of Voodoo, where we're touring 7 months out of the year. You know, those guys are still hitting it hard, and I commend them for it.
Seven months without going home?
No, it's 7 months. Within the 12 month, you know, so, you know, that's how it was when I was touring, you know, 7 months out of the 12 month year. And those guys almost did that again in recent touring, but I think just about, you know, it's still, even if they're doing 5 months out of the 12 year, 6 months, it still sounds super tired to me, and I commend those guys again for doing it. It's really hard. So my other side band is called the Dead Sparrows, and that's we're playing a small club in it's actually a gay bar in Riverside called the Menagerie, and it's a good little place, and it's a summer kickoff party Sunday June 12th, and that's with the local band the Debonairs, Slags, Dead Sparrows, because you know we're kind of still the opener band. We don't have a lot of songs, but we're having fun. So
yeah. You guys got an Instagram page too, right?
Yeah, it's Dead Sparrows Sur. .com, because there's a Dead Sparrows Florida, so we call it Dead Sparrows Sur, as in South.
The Dead Golondrinas, dog.
Jerry O'Neill, former drummer of Voodoo Glosgos.
Founding member,
man.
Yeah, man.
And a lot of big bands to open up for you guys, no doubt.
Yeah, a good handful of...
They opened up for you guys. And a guy from the... What was his name? Parker?
Fraker?
No, Parker, the guy from, he plays drums for, what's his name? Blink 182?
Oh, Travis Barker.
Travis Barker.
Yeah, he used to sleep on Eddie's fucking couch, huh?
Yeah, come on, sleep with the couch. Actually, you know what's funny is, he's an amazing drummer. He's huge now. You know, to me, he's like the,
Tommy
our,
Lee.
I'd say he's our era Buddy Rich. He's the Buddy Rich of today, really. You know, I mean, not with the same musical styles. Buddy Rich probably wouldn't have that kind of music, obviously, because he's an old fucking asshole, probably.
Big
you know?
Band motherfucker.
Yeah, you know. I mean, actually, I heard he was a total asshole. You know,
Buddy Rich?
Yeah. But, like, you know, he could kick your ass because he knew of judo and all that. But anyway, that... yeah.
Stab that fool.
But to me, I would say he's the... he's the Buddy Rich of our time. So yeah, he crashed their couch a couple of times back in the day. And my story was that he was in the band called the Aquabats.
Yeah, the Aquabats.
You still got your bat suit?
Yeah, and he told me that he was going to join. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but he wanted to join Blink 182, and he needed an alibi because he was supposed to practice with Aquabats that day. And he told me, if you talk to those guys, tell them that I was jamming with you, with me. He was jamming with me. Yeah, and, like, you know, that's a story that we're going to jam together, do some. And but in reality, he's going to go practice with Blink, and the rest is history. And you know, it's like, yeah, I think the whole point of that thing is he didn't want to hurt anybody. You know, he's like probably a nice guy.
Yeah, that's how he was.
You know, nice guy. Like, but you know, opportunity knocks, take it, right?
Hell yeah, man!
Without burning bridges.
Fuck it, build another bridge.
So what's up, fool? Can people call you for rides? The cab driver, you have the number?
In Inland Empire?
Inland Empire, man.
And beyond.
If you want to talk about voodoo glow schools and punk music and get a nice ride anywhere, hit up Jerry O'Neill, One Step Beyond. What's your number?
It's 951-544-0129.
And also tell them how much you love the podcast. Anybody, man, if you're out there partying in the Riverside area, San Bernardino area, or maybe you're leaving the Felipe Esparza show for the Ontario Improv tonight. Hey, man, you want somebody to pick you up, man.
Yeah, we'll have fun. You know,
you have fun, man.
No, we'll have fun in the cab. You know, people think, you know, a lot of people are like, why are you driving a cab? You know, well, I got into the cab out of necessity. I
Taxi
a
driver, the movie, right?
Yeah, no, I need a job out of necessity, you know, but I've always wanted to be a cab driver because I just like the lowbrow of life.
We were on tour one time. He's like, man, I think I'm gonna do two things, man. I'm either going to be a barber, man, or drive a cab, man. And he's all, because there was a dude that was driving us around. I think it was New Orleans or something.
Yeah.
And the whole time this cab driver was driving around, he had his fucking hand on the horn. So if anybody got in the way, he'd be burr.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that full remember.
I got out of necessity. And the thing is, I just like the lowbrow stuff of life, the trail of life. Like the, you know, Jack Kerouac and Bukowski beat poet stuff, all the weird, I just want to see life from the bottom up, you know?
Hell yeah, man.
You know? So.
You get you to a lot of things, man.
Hell yeah. A lot of good ass stories, huh?
Yeah, a lot of great stories, yeah, for sure.
Tell when the woman, the guy shot me in the back. They were having sex.
No, you know, I've driven with a couple cab drivers here in Los Angeles, and, you know, it's pretty gnarly out here. You know, I live in a smaller town. We have San Bernardino, which gets pretty scary too, and it's not that crazy. I have a handful of crazy stories, but I don't think it's nearly as crazy as it would be living in Los Angeles, New York, or Vegas. But you know, they're still there, and you know, everybody stay safe out there.
And you're on Instagram and Facebook too, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
My Instagram is
Shipwreck
69. Yeah.
Shipwreck 69, people.
Shipwreck. Yeah, you can see.
Also, man, you want to tell anybody or a guest, bro, that love the band, they know who you are, want to tell them anything? A little message? Yeah. Do what you want?
Yeah, just
a little PSA from Jerry O'Neill over here?
Yeah. Just keep it going. Keep it alive and have fun with it, you know, with anything you do, really. And don't start any more bands. There's enough out there.
People think it's easy, huh?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard biz and crack, man. But it's hard.
Also, man, as far as shitty promoters go, man, you're a young comic and you're worried about the comedian, about the promoter robbing you. And when he asks you, do you need a light? You tell him, yeah, man, you give me the light. That's when you get off stage, you know the motherfucker holding a flashlight is holding the money. So what's up, fool? Thank you, Jerry O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
From Voodoo Glow Schools.
Thanks. Hell yeah.
Bad Sparrows.
Dead Sparrows.
Dead Sparrows.
Yeah, thanks for saving me out of the gorilla cage there today.
Hell yeah, man. From Smash House.
Okay, take me back there, dog.
Yeah, right. We're going to make a new one.
And good times.
Hell yeah, man. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, all that.
Also, man, check out Rodrigo's new podcast. Yeah, man, podcast.
Yeah, man.
He released it last night at, two nights ago. It's on SoundCloud. Look for it and share it, man. Yeah, man. Podcast. His first guest is Alfred Robles.
Yeah, man.
Do the lips, eh?
Fuck that. I'll do it on fucking Snapchat right now. What's up, fool? Podcast.
What's up, fool?
Hell yeah. Oh.